Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. It is Tuesday, October 12th, 2021. Daniel, you look great, I got to tell
you. Hey, that's nice of you to say.
Beard. How about it? Hair.
Okay.
A black shirt. You look good.
Bike ride this morning. I come in here fired up. A lot of sports topics to discuss with my friend Grant Paulson. Lamar Jackson was unbelievable last night. That game was incredible. Baltimore should have more astounding comeback crazy games, by the way, and everything that they've won. Kansas City, Detroit, and then, of course, last night. No business winning, and they did. Baseball playoffs are happening. Ron Rivera was on the Junks this morning. We'll talk about that. There's so much to do today. There's so much to do.
Booger McFarland, who was the anchor of the halftime coverage for ESPN during Monday Night Football, right as news broke last night that John Gruden was resigning as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Booger will be on the show at 3. Today, we're going to talk to him about the Gruden resignation. We're going to discuss with him his time playing for John Gruden and also where the NFL goes from here. Look, we got to get into that. The Gruden part of it is one thing. And frankly, while disappointing and from a bigger societal picture maybe needs to be discussed. Here in D.C., all I can think about is they have 650,000 emails from Bruce Allen. We know about what was on a handful of them because someone was trying to bury John Gruden and found enough dirt to do that. And now we know about these emails, but there's only a handful of them out there. What about the other 645,000?
Was he emailing himself? I mean, this is the exasperating part. And again, you're 100% right. It's I don't mean to dismiss and diminish what the content of what John Gruden said, but it's not interesting radio, to be honest with you. It's bad. Yep. Okay, we got that. Settled. Done. Everyone agrees. Now, this is the result of hundreds and hundreds of work hours, the results of a year-plus-long investigation into the Washington football team, then Redskins. Conduct, accusations, very serious ones, mind you. Dan Snyder at the core of all of it. It affects his fit to lead. The only result is that somebody who had it out for John Gruden let that leak to make sure that he was in trouble. Or maybe they had it out for Bruce Allen. I have no idea. But the only victim so far, victim's not the right word. The only person that's had any consequence wasn't working in the NFL at the time, was on television, firing off private emails that were off color and inappropriate and awful. That's the only person that's paid any kind of consequence here.
We got to do this today at some point. And we will, by the way. Probably right after we talk to Booger at 3, around 3:25, because we now know that the team president at the time sent nude pictures, allegedly, of cheerleaders to his buddy via his company email. They found that, and nothing mattered. What else did they find? What else did they know? What else do they know that has just been buried? All we've heard is about a couple emails, and we've got this. Other than the 100 times I emailed Bruce to try to get him on the show and he didn't respond, because those are among those 650,000 emails, by the way, sitting there in the inbox.
Do you imagine someone read through Grant Paulson's like 7 or 8 requests? Like, please, like, come on the show.
One weird thing, this one radio guy in D.C. emailed him no fewer than 100 times for radio interviews.
Asking for comment.
Exactly. But we can get into that. So real quick on Lamar Jackson. Before we talk about what Rivera said on the Junkies today, that everybody in town is discussing. What an amazing performance that was. Quite literally the first time it's ever happened. Jackson threw for 442 yards and four touchdowns. 37 of 43 passing. It's like throwing against air in a 7-on-7 clinic. He rushed for 62 yards. So all purpose, Danny, 504 yards and four touchdowns for Lamar Jackson, who had six incompletions in the game. And statistically, and I love numbers, I mean, it was an outing we've never seen before. He's the first player in the history of the league to throw for 400, score four touchdowns through the air, not have an interception, and rush for 50. In the second half of that game and in overtime, they came back from 16 down in the fourth, which, you know, I've always thought this offense is not built to do that. Lamar Jackson's probably not going to be able to lead them back. Egg on my face last night. He was 29 of 32 for 355 and four scores in the second half and
just
overtime.
Transcendent.
And maybe most impressive, there's a composite grade that's given out called CPOE. And it sounds really nerdy, but it's super simple. It's completion percentage over expected.
Mm-hmm.
This is the completion percentage you're expected to have on these throws. This is how many you actually complete. So you want a positive because it means you completed more than you should have. Over 13% in the positive for him after halftime on his throws last night in CPOE. The average quarterback would have completed about 13% of those passes fewer. He was dialed in a way that we'd never seen him. It was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen. And I saw a number today. Danny, he's now ranked. If you rank all 32 teams in the league, he's like 14th in total yards this season among all the teams. That's how you get yourself in the MVP race.
Just amazing. And the rushing threat there. There were a number of times it looked like he had avenues to run. But just outside of the picture, I think the Colts were committed to basically not playing man all that often to prevent long gash runs from Lamar Jackson. They were determined not to have their backs turned to him and not to be on a highlight reel. So they've sort of planted in these zones 5, 10, 15 yards down the field. So it looked like a couple times he had chances to run, but he would just kind of escape in the pocket, move outside. He made throw after throw after throw. What an amazing performance. That was great theater.
Yeah, it was really good. And that game, the performance, it all kind of was perfect. And as a football fan, it would have been a great night. But in the meantime, you got a coach having to resign because of awful things that he emailed 10 years ago to an executive here in Washington. Seems to always come back to the football team.
Indeed.
We didn't find anything out about the operation in D.C. We got no specifics. They just came back and said, oh, you're not going to see anything from this report, but you know, we'll dock the owner an amount of money that he wouldn't notice if it just disappeared from his bank account. That was the big decision. And then yesterday, because John Gruden's getting blown out, we find out how awkward and creepy this could really get. At the very, very top, that was the team president and emails on his company email. But let's talk Washington football team now, right? Let's just discuss what's actually going on in the moment here on G&D for a second. So yesterday, we're breaking down the Saints-Washington football team game. New Orleans, 33-22 winners at FedEx Field. The good guys fall to 2-3. And you and I were saying, cannot wait to hear Ron Rivera on the Junkies today. It's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of things they can cover. Because here's how it works. I mean, after a game, when we sit there and we get to ask questions of Rivera at FedEx Field,
mm-hmm.
It's just different. A, he hasn't watched the film, but there's only so much you can actually ask that he'll get into or following up that can be done before it gets uncomfortable. When you're sitting at your desk like he is calling into the Junkies on a long-form 20-minute phone call, that's a different world, and you can just cover
Indeed.
More ground.
Yeah, I mean, post-game coaches get to hide behind, I haven't watched the film, so I don't know. I bet you have some insight at this point that you could offer, but they always choose not to do that. And, you know, we sort of buy that, and everybody kind of has this agreement where it has to be asked, and then the coach gets to say, I'll watch the film and let you know. And then, of course, he never lets anybody know anything, and we all kind of go about our merry way. But there are decisions, there are moments in the game that you can kind of get some instant reaction to. Hey, what were you thinking on this 3rd and 7? On that 4th and 10, why did you go versus why did you not go? There are things that you can get out of those post-game scrums or interviews, rather. It is different, though, when you get the, okay, now it's the day after. You've processed, you've analyzed. Presumably, you're maybe not as emotional as you were moments after the final whistle blew, etc. And so now we get into the nitty-gritty here. We can talk, A, about the game, but B, some more bigger picture things. And Rivera was shot out of a cannon this morning. Was, you know, I would say, I don't know what the right adjective is exactly, but was snippy, was defensive, was basically not here to answer the kinds of questions that I think fans would have. And that's what really we're doing here. We're sort of the it all gets kind of boiled down into one touch point where a couple of representatives of the fans, that's you and me and the Junks and JP and B. Mitch, are get to say, here's what's probably on the fan base's mind. Why are you getting beat deep every week? Why is a guy running wild and free? And why is this a coverage miscue just a constant thing? And he, you know, had his answers ready and wasn't letting guys finish questions and was kind of going hard, kind of right back at them a little bit. And I thought it was really entertaining, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I will never have any problem with the coach going back at anybody. I mean, we're asking you questions.
Sure.
You can ask questions back. That's perfectly reasonable and fair. I was surprised to hear one particular comment from Ron Rivera, though, which is a comment that I and a lot of other people have been saying for months and months and months. I just didn't expect or anticipate to hear Rivera say it. Because all offseason, as we were getting calls and people were predicting 11 and 12 wins, it's only been five games, so perhaps you're still going to get to your, you know, 11, your 12 wins by the end of the year, I guess. But my point was always, A, everyone needs to relax and settle down. They won a division that was terrible. They played a lot of backup quarterbacks. This defense is being overhyped, and this team is not ready to make the leap, Mike Greenberg. Make the leap, Mike Florio, all these national people, to just being one of the best teams in the NFC. And I guess Rivera agreed with that because he told the Junkies that maybe last year in some ways is more of a hindrance than a help now because they won that division at 7-9. You get that first place schedule and the expectations have been sky high. But let's hear it from his words. This was Rivera on the Junkies today.
And this is about teaching a bunch of young guys, okay, teaching a second year and third year defensive end how it's done. Okay, trying to make sure that the rookies that we're trying to develop get more opportunities. Give them a chance to grow and develop, guys. Again, if stuff like this happened overnight, then Rome would have been built overnight. But we are going through this. We're developing and growing, guys. Again, understand, we see what's happening. We're trying to get past these things. We're trying to focus in on what's truly the development of this football team for the long run, not an overnight fix. Okay? I mean, you almost want to say, man, I wish 7-9 last year wouldn't have been good enough to win the division. That way the expectations would have been much lower and have been a little bit easier. This is hard. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard. It's because it's the only way you learn.
That's Ron Rivera with the Junkies earlier today. So there's a lot in there. I mean, the most notable comment he made, though, was when he said, you almost want to say I wish 7-9 wouldn't have been good enough to win the division so that the expectations were lower and easier. Whether you like it or not, he's admitting people thought too highly of us this offseason because we made the playoffs last year. And maybe the expectations need to be scaled back a little bit at this point. That's what he said.
I have a lot that I want to bring up here about this. How in the world is this the path that he's going to walk down? Who cares what I thought? Who cares what Darius and Ryan and you and Mike Greenberg and some, you know, Ian Rappaport or Jason LaConfora has when we bring them on the show? Like, yeah, they could win 10 games. Who gives a damn? Properly self-evaluate your team. And if you come up with that conclusion that you're not that good, you don't go get a 39-year-old quarterback to start. You don't try to trade away future draft picks for Matt Stafford. If your conclusion is you ain't that good, then do a developmental thing. That would include your hand-picked first-round pick playing more than 13 snaps. You play him and let him struggle. Instead of inventing formations where a bunch of your veterans, like William Jackson, Landon Collins, Bobby McCain, and all the other older players on your roster are running around there like hot garbage, giving up touchdown after touchdown. If you actually had a plan to rebuild, then I would suggest you rebuild, sir. Move towards that rebuild. It's a wonderful lane. Put on your turn signal and exit to the right. Rebuild and do so immediately. Draft a quarterback. Rebuild. If you're not rebuilding, which you weren't, then don't. Don't tell me midstream, oh, yeah, you know, it turns out we're totally rebuilding now. It's developmental. Third-year players, still developmental players. No, not in this league. Not in this league where the average career lasts less than 3 years. A guy on a rookie deal playing like a veteran is the best asset you can have in the sport. Montez Sweat on the free market cost millions and millions of dollars. He costs you a fraction of that right now. This is your window, and you knew that. That's why you went out and behaved the way that you did. So I'm stunned at what he had to say. I'm stunned. We're all finding out in real time this is a developmental year. Oh, we should be judging everything differently then. Then you're not developing your young players. Where's De'Ami Brown? Where's Jamin Davis? Where's Derek Forrest? Where are the other young players that you drafted with the idea that you'd be in a developmental time? You're not. That's not true. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that they don't know if this is a developmental year or not.
Thank you.
You know, if they were winning games, it wouldn't be a developmental year. If they're going to start losing games, then it's going to be a developmental year. And I don't mean that in a trite way. I mean, they're going to kind of pick and choose as they go. Like, mm-hmm. He did it last year.
Yeah.
The division was there to be had, and so he kind of abandoned the plan and said, look, we can win the NFC East. We're going to try to go do that. So this year, if they're playing well and they're winning, then maybe he pushes the envelope. And if not, then he scales it back and says, we're developing. Here's what I know. When you sign Ryan Fitzpatrick to the one-year contract you did, that's not what a rebuilding team does. A rebuilding team has a young, developing quarterback that they turn to. Now, accidentally, you're doing that with Taylor Heinicke only because Fitzpatrick got hurt. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was healthy, Heinicke would just be watching him play right now, and he would be almost 40 years old playing for you as a one-year stopgap. A rebuilding team, you know, a quote-unquote team about development,
mm-hmm.
you're not re-signing Brandon Scherff to a one-year deal that has no chance of becoming a long-term contract at an exorbitant amount of money, $18 million. You keep Scherff, and you sign Fitzpatrick so that you can kind of be where you were last year. You went 7-9. You felt like maybe you were a little bit lucky to get there. But let's not let the bottom fall out. Let's make sure we're still in that 7-9 win mix to be in the playoff conversation in December. So let's bring in a veteran quarterback for a year, kick the can down the road on that decision, and let's sign a guard, arguably the least important position in all of football, for $18 million for 1 year. If you're developing, you could develop with Wes Schweitzer. Now, you could develop with a guard that you drafted in the third round and plug that guy in right away. But they haven't completely been developing. A little bit of having your cake and eat it, too.
Mm-hmm.
The comment he made, though, people seem very, very upset by. It's just 100% accurate. Now, maybe the debate is, do you want to hear it from your head coach 5 games into the season? Okay, I'll have that conversation with you. But last year, they were only division champions in name. And he's telling you, he knows that. You almost want to say, I wish 7-9 last year wouldn't have been good enough to win the division. That way the expectations would have been much lower and been a little easier. This is hard. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard because that's the only way you learn. End quote. The learn part, we're back now. He's talking about, like, it's supposed to be this way because we're trying to build from the ground up and we're in our infancy in this planning phase. This is not the rhetoric from the offseason, though, mm-hmm. necessarily. And it certainly wasn't outside the building. So let's open up the Gambit DC listener lines for you guys at 800-636-1067. What do you make of this comment with the junkies today? And of the idea of Rivera saying, you know, it almost would have been better if they didn't win the division, because then at 2-3, playing the way they're playing, it wouldn't seem like the sky is falling, and it wouldn't seem like they are completely disappointing, which a lot of fans with high expectations would say they have to this point. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. The Gambit DC listener lines. G&D on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are going through this. We're developing and growing, guys. Again, understand, we see what's happening. We're trying to get past these things. We're trying to focus in on what's truly the development of this football team for the long run, not an overnight fix, okay? I mean, you almost want to say, man, I wish 7-9 last year wouldn't have been good enough to win the division. That way the expectations would have been much lower and have been a little bit easier. This is hard. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard. It's because it's the only way you learn.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Was Ron Rivera suggesting in that interview with the Junkies, as it sounds like he may have been, that they might have been better off had they not have won the division, at least as far as this year goes, because everyone wouldn't have expected that they were getting back to the playoffs? We just looked it up during the break, by the way. A lot of talk about the developmental year and how young the team is. Danny, they're not one of the youngest teams in football right now.
They're the 20th youngest team in football, according to opening season rosters via Over the Cap. That's going to be influenced, of course, by 39-year-old quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick being on the roster. But still, those things average out when you count up all 53 guys.
Well, you also made that decision. Like,
yeah.
You're talking about it's a developmental year. You could have developed a young quarterback. You could have drafted one. You could have gone and gotten a young one. You could have stuck with a guy in his mid-20s and Kyle Allen, or played Taylor Heinicke, who they're now playing, obviously, because Fitzpatrick did get hurt. But yeah, there has been this juxtaposition of, at times, it is a developmental process. And it is, you know, coaches hate to say rebuild. I remember one time in a press conference kind of going back and forth with Mike Shanahan where he was so upset about the phrase rebuild. And he just wouldn't say that they were rebuilding. He's like, well, I'm not going to say that. We don't do that around here. Okay, fine, whatever that means. But sometimes it seems like they are, and then sometimes it seems like they plan on winning. Remember last year, there was a major shift in paradigm where the division was there to be had. And Rivera, who had talked, you know, a couple weeks before that, he like wasn't calling timeouts. Remember that?
Absolutely.
Because they weren't trying to win the game or something, because he didn't want to get anyone hurt or whatever that was. Like, 2 weeks later, he benched their first round pick, Dwayne Haskins, in his second season, in the September of his second season in the NFL, because he wanted to go try to win the division. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. Haskins was not good, and I don't think he'll ever be good.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to quarterbacks that were better than him. But it was a major shift philosophically in, well, is this year about letting young guys get better? Or is this year about trying to win the division? Because you got to pick a lane sometimes. Like, there's plenty of parts of that journey where you can drive in the middle of those two lanes, but inevitably there are a couple different times where you have to actually choose one of those two lanes.
Well, it affects how you should be judged for it. If you're judged on a rebuild, it's how many, you know, how many draft picks did you accrue? How many future bits of future flexibility? How many, you know, young assets do you have? That's what you should be judged by. If you're going for it, and then when you fall short of that, you should be judged based off that. And trying to do it both ways, as you said, it's the have your cake and eat it too sort of scenario, you're not doing either very well, because your young players, your draft picks, are playing less and less if you look at Jamin Davis. You don't have a future at the most important position in the sport just yet. And what are we doing? We're spinning our wheels at this stage, looking at a schedule where you're going to lose a bunch of games, and you're now going, by the way, this is all developmental. No one get mad. Okay, see ya. I don't buy it, quite frankly.
Let's go to Devon in Rockville to get us started on Grant and Danny. You heard the quote. It was from the Junkies right here on The Fan today. What do you make of it?
Hey, buddy.
A bunch of baloney, stale baloney at that. Like you just, y'all just hit it on the nose, man. Last year, he started off by saying developmental. Then he switched gears. Then he also said, look, if we do things the way that we want to do it, we'll take the blame. But if everybody else is trying to do it, 11 people trying to do one thing, then they take the blame. But at the end of the day, every conference, every time he gets in a press conference, I never once hear him take accountability or make his coaches take accountability.
Well, I'll tell you that that today, Devon. Thank you for the call, buddy. He actually did exactly that today. He was asked a question by Jason about a play where William Jackson was in man coverage, got a little rub. It was trips to the left, and he had no chance to defend the play because they were in man, and they, I guess the young corner over there, St. Juice or somebody else, didn't know to pass something off. So the whole play was terrible. It was a 12-yard touchdown untouched. It was the easiest score of the day for the Saints. And he said it was on him, it was on the staff, because they were in a bad look against that package for New Orleans. So he wore it. And he's done that a couple different times. So I won't say he never takes the blame. I disagree with that. People want blood right now, and they're not going to be happy until like a head rolls. And he probably thinks 5 games into the season it's too early for that.
And it is, by the way. Nobody should be fired right now.
Well, of course. I mean, absolutely not. When people talk about Del Rio or anybody else, absolutely no one should be losing their job on October 12th. But there doesn't appear to be the same urgency from Rivera to make changes, to play other players, to elevate Jeremy Reeves, or to play Landon Collins.
That's the distinction
something.
I wanted to make, by the way. So what fans want, you know, obviously fans are fickle and they get animated, they're emotional because they're invested. Otherwise, you know, this is tiddlywinks and you don't get 26 million people watching a football match, right? But what would make, I think, go a long way to appease a lot of folks is something different. Landon Collins, you have lost the right to just be a starter and be out there for 100% of the snaps. You've lost that privilege. Somebody else. Just show me that you're willing to do that. I think that would satisfy a lot of people for at least a little while.
Tim's in the city. What's up, Tim? How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. What are you doing?
Good, pal.
Hey, I'm a little disappointed in the coach because, you know, he's asking us, since we're losing, and we're losing badly with a broken scheme on defense, and, you know, he wants us to now temper our expectations of this team. Now, when they won a division, it was all good. You know, he looked brilliant, and he'll take the accolades for that. But now he's saying something different. I don't like it. I don't buy it. And I think he's using that as an excuse now because they're losing. And also, he's using it as an excuse not to change up anything that they're doing. I don't understand, man. I'm befuddled with this.
Let's go out to Loudon, where the team trains. William is waiting. Will, you're on Grant and Danny on The Fan. You heard the comments from Ron Rivera today right here with the Junks. What do you make of them?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I appreciate you for taking my call, but I was going to say I also appreciate you for sticking up for us fans who basically just want, you know, regular answers, standard answers from Ron Rivera, who gets real sensitive about that. And that's kind of bugging me, but that's different from my opinion about what he said this morning. I've always thought that we are rebuilding. He's trying to get his guys out, younger guys in. He's always talking about learning and developmental. I think he was stuck between a rock and a hard place last year, trying to maybe think about going for the division and getting the young team to learn and get that experience trying to win the division. But until we get a quarterback, and he has a 5-year plan, until we get a quarterback, and hopefully he gets one within his 5-year planning, and that's his opportunity. Until he does that, we're developing. So thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate you again.
Thanks, buddy.
We've debated this on the show in the past. I think you can probably develop while trying to win. I do think, though, inevitably you've got to self-evaluate correctly and know which one you are. Am I building or am I competing? And they did enough things this offseason that, to me, made it seem like they were competing. that they weren't, like, you're always building. I mean, you're building all
the
time.
You have to, the nature of the sport. Yeah, of course.
So 1 year plan, a 3 year plan, a 5 year plan. Mm-hmm. But on a binary, generally, it's like there's two camps in the NFL. You're a team that is trying to win this season, or you're a team that's not necessarily, because you're prioritizing the future. I viewed Washington this offseason coming into the year as a team that was trying to win this season. If Rivera says, well, maybe they're more in the line of, we're prioritizing 22-23, we're getting our team ready to win a championship, you know, we're going to add some logs to the fire here, but we're getting our team ready for the next couple of years as we go, then the offseason was curious to me. Then, you know, the 1 year deal for Leno at left tackle, or the 1 year extension of Scherff to just tag him at a ridiculous amount of money, or bringing in a quarterback who's a bridge. Like, that's what you do, in my opinion, if you're fairly competitive. Or in the case of Denver, if you're a head coach that feels like if you go 5-11, 5-12 now, you're going to lose your job.
You're fired, yeah.
So I'll go get Teddy Bridgewater to make sure Drew Lock doesn't throw 26 picks and I don't lose my job.
Or you do a caretaker if you're the Colts and you're incredibly well-built and you go 11-5 with a guy that can't move or can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field and Phil Rivers last year. That's what the bridge quarterback is for. If you don't have a real answer, you go, you sort of break glass and go to the McRib. You go to the guy that's been on every other team and is just going to be a steadying hand because you think your roster is that good. Otherwise, you go young. Now, you're right about there. You can do both. I'm always an advocate of if you're not going to be great, then you play kids. There's going to be a line where you can't cross that. Like, in other words, you can't right now just play Sadiq Charles at right guard and not play a guy that's a little bit older than he is, who's probably a lot better. You can't just play kids just because they're young. There's sort of a line there. But if it's close, if it's between, I don't know, name that veteran and getting De'Ami Brown a few more reps, let's go De'Ami Brown because we have some investment there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a time where you can sort of do both, I think, to your point. And this is not a group that was rebuilding until all of a sudden we just declared that we were after we're now 2-3 and the defense looks terrible.
I think that's a nice question to throw out, too, at 800-636-1067. Remember, Booger McFarland's going to join us at 3. He played for John Gruden. He was on the Monday Night Football halftime broadcast reacting to the breaking news that he was resigning as the head coach of the Raiders. We can talk about where the league goes from here, and also the WFT part of this as well, which is pretty fascinating. We know very little about the investigation into the culture, but we hear a couple real troubling things out of these emails that didn't even really have anything to do with the Washington Football Team investigation. Just an, oh, by the way, we seized these emails during that investigation that we buried, but we're going to use this to fire John Gruden. Even though Bruce Allen was with a team at that time, no longer is, and no one with Washington, other than Bruce Allen, must have been on that email, I guess, but we'll get into that with Booger coming up at 3 o'clock. But the question is, are they trying to win right now, or do you view them as in developmental mode? And can you do both at the same time? Maybe that's the best sports conversation. Is it one or the other, or can you both be building, developing, rebuilding, whatever you call it, and also prioritizing winning? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Washington is 2-3. Next up, the Kansas City Chiefs. Luckily, you get another 2-3 team, and you get to play them at home. Should be... Oh, no, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that's right.
But I think the defense is primed for a breakout. I think if there's ever been a week where they're going to be motivated and have a good matchup, it's against the Chiefs with Mahomes and Andy Reid and all those Chiefs weapons. Why not? Why not this week, Danny?
Time to get right. Travis who?
Travis who's a great bit.
You know what I mean?
Patrick who? Question for you guys on the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067. Ron Rivera on with the Junkies today talking about the kind of the overall process of where they're at. And it sounds like at this point, now we can give you the full context of everything he said. In a long answer at one point, basically says, listen, maybe we would have been better off if not winning the division last year. Because, and this is what we've said on the show a lot, this is what I've harped on for months, the expectations were not obtainable. They weren't a real division champion.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the 7 wins, if you want to say they would have gone 7-9 in a normal year and lost the division by a couple games, even the wins, by and large, they beat the Bengals, where if Burrow doesn't get hurt, they don't beat them. They beat the Eagles, where if they don't bench... Jalen Hurts, they don't beat them. They beat the Steelers when they had like 4 days off after a COVID game makeup against the Ravens, when Washington had been sitting around for over a week. They beat the 49ers on a neutral site because there was a smoke in the air in San Francisco. Like, you can go through almost every one of their wins and say, well, this was a fortuitous, as I can remember, a season going for a team. And now you get this schedule where you're playing all four of the quarterbacks that played on Championship Sunday, where you're playing, you're going from A-ball to the big leagues in terms of the passers you're taking on defensively. And you're dealing with a division that is much better, led by one of the better teams in the leagues, it looks like in Dallas. He said something that is correct, which is what I've been saying all along. I guess people are just mad that the coach said it.
Well, mad because it didn't reflect the approach. It doesn't jive. If this was going to be too hard this year, if this coming year where you have a first-place schedule and you played way better teams going forward, including all the conference finalists, as you alluded to, then you made a mistake, quote-unquote, going for it last year. If this was going to be too much of a challenge, if the expectations were too much and that was going to be crippling to the development of this immature team, you won't stop telling me about how immature everybody is for the players that you picked, by the way, you're responsible for everything. Everybody's key card works at that facility because you say it does. The instant you don't want someone there, they're gone. You're in charge of everything. If this was going to be too much to handle, then you keep playing last year's first round crappy quarterback and you lose and you develop. That's not what they did. If this was going to be too hard for you, then you don't get to have it all the different ways. It's what's so frustrating about this to me.
Well, here's what I know is they've only played 5 games and they've won almost half of them. Okay? You can't win 2.5 games.
Right.
This is getting awkward between him and the media a little bit. At 2-3, with some really tough games coming up.
Oh, yeah. Just wait.
he's got to scale it back a little bit, I think, because the media is not going to relax as you keep losing. I'm not sure that it was like this in Charlotte. I bet it isn't.
I bet you it's not.
But this is getting uncomfortable with his reaction to some of these questions where he was stunned yesterday. You know, Nikki Javala starts the presser about Jack Del Rio, which is
what's the breaking point?
Fair question. Ben Standing asks about him helping out with play calling. And he's, you know, he's
guys.
I mean, coaches in the media, they should be going back and forth. They have different jobs. But for it to be getting this awkward and like him being this put off by some of the questioning, this is not Charlotte. I mean, there are, even though they haven't won here for 30 years, there's three trophies every time he walks in that building. People do expect winning. It's not an easy place to coach, even though they lose all the time. Mm-hmm. I guess the expectation normally is, well, I'm going to this place where they haven't won in forever. Yeah, they probably take it easy.
They'll
on
be grateful.
No, people are just really bad and angry and want to win.
We just want something good to happen.
Matt's in Great Falls. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing today, man? I really don't know where to start with this one. And, first of all, I'm going to use McEnroe's words. You cannot be serious with these comments, okay? First thing I got to say is all we keep hearing about is these young players. Basically, if we gave this guy some truth serum, okay, and really what he wanted to say is I got some dumb players that don't understand. What does that even mean? These players are paid very, very well. They came out of college. They came out of programs. You're not coaching Little League, man. I don't understand that it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. Every single week, this, and you're right, Grant, it's getting really uncomfortable because as a fan, it makes me uncomfortable to listen to him. I want to break my TV. I'm like, listen, man, just come out and own it. Just come out and say, we stink. We're not going to win this year. And if you want us to lower our expectations, lower your ticket prices. Lower your park, lower something. But don't tell us to lower our expectations because you got some young players that don't understand the scheme, the system. What exactly do these players not understand? That's all I want to ask.
Well, and remember, though, weekly it's a William Jackson in a safety situation. Most of the time, it's been Landon Collins.
Those aren't rookies.
Landon Collins has been in the scheme for 2 years. Was an all-pro in this league 5 years ago. He's not a child who's learning how to play. William Jackson's been in the league for, I believe, 6 years. Certainly five. I know he's new here, but if Benjamin St. Juice doesn't figure something out, or if you're telling me Jamin Davis can't play because he's still struggling with the playbook, no problem. 20th? In terms of team age, only 12 teams or 11 teams are younger than this team. I mean, so that matters a little bit here. But you've also heard the refrain about, you know, the players, and we got to play with who we're going to play with.
You picked them.
It's only been 5 games, and we're doing all this.
Such a good point.
And they're 2-3. It could have been worse. Booger McFarland joins us next. Let's talk John Gruden with the guy who played for him and what this means for the Washington football team with his emails getting leaked. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.